نم وشنو پرایا کرشنا پرستایا بھوتلے سیماتے بھکتی ویدانتا آمینیتی نامینے نمستے دستے دیوی گوروانی پرشاینے نیوشیشا شنیواری بھسکتیاری ستانی سری کرشنا چیتنیا پربھو نتیانندا شری ادویتا گدادا شریواسوی گوروکروند ہری کرشنا ہری کرشنا 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 ہری ہری
ہری رام
ہری رام 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 ہری تپت کنچن گورانگی رادھے ورنداونیشوری وشا بھانو سدھی دیوی ہری کرشنا کرنا سندھو دین بندھو جگتپتے گوپیشا گوپیکا کانتا پادکانتا نموستتے Kann ich mal ein Tempotaschentuch? Das ist da unten. Also, genau, du hast es in der Hand. Bhavatim abhivatya chatubhir varam urjeshvari varyamataye pavaditaya taya kripam yata mayi kuyadadikamba kankata. I must admit I'm still looking for the right melody to chant this. Bhavatim abhivatya chatubhir. Oh yeah, it's when there is so much loud sound, I can't hear my own thoughts any longer. Bhavatim avivatya chatubhir, Bhavatim avivatya chatubhir, Varam ujeshvari vayam mataye, Pavadiyataya kripam yata mahiku yatadikam bakankata. O Ujeshwari, Sri Radhika, with folded hands, I beg you with sweet words for this benediction. May the killer of Bakasura, Sri Krishna, heap his kindness upon me, knowing me to be yours. It's very interesting how Rupa Goswami prays in this and the preceding verse. In the preceding verse, he has addressed Krishna and asked him for a blessing. Please induce Sri Radhika to make me the recipient of her compassion. So when Rupa prays to Krishna, he wants to him to induce Radha to give him his mercy. Now here we see what Rupa Goswami asks when he prays to Radhika. He asks, may Krishna help me by giving me his kindness because he knows I'm yours. So when you read these two prayers, what are you to make out of them? He considers himself very much the servant of Radharani. Yes? Is that clear? Whether he asks Radha or Krishna. He wants, he pledges his allegiance, his loyalty to Radharani. And this, in a way, is called Vaishnava Bhuta Shuddhi. You know, as a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, you should practice everyday Bhuta Shuddhi. That means you should wake up from the illusion that you are the body and the mind. You should really think yourself both in your wakeful situation as well as in your dreaming situation to be an eternal servant of Krishna. Now, our Rupa Goswami's Bhuta Shuddhi meditation is to think of himself as an eternal servant of Radharani. If you want to make any advancement in spiritual life, you cannot do this without this Bhuta Shuddhi meditation. That is the right understanding who you are and the meditation about it. It's called in philosophy, it is called Sambandha Gyan, the knowledge of what is what. Without this, you will just stay always before the ocean of Krishna consciousness, but you will not be able to dive and swim in it and experience the wonderful waves of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness starts really from this Bhuta Shuddhi meditation. Rupa Goswami, he prays, may I always be Radha's Kinkari. There is a verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati, another servant of Radharani. It's from the book called Radha Rasa Sudhanidhi, The Ocean of Radharani's Qualities. And you will be happy to hear each one of the verses. And I think it's about almost 200 verses is engraved in marble and is around Seva Kunj. When you go there, you will see this marble plaque and you will see all the verses of this Radha Rasa Sudhanidhi there. And one of the verses is where the devotee expresses his fixation in Radha's service. He says, may the luster of Sri Radha's lotus feet manifest to me either in my wakeful state or in my dream or in my deep sleep. I have no other shelter than Radha's lotus feet, whether I'm in Vaikuntha or in hell. Let me always engage in talking about Srimati Radharani, and let me sit in a terrace of a kunja in a bower house in the banks of Jamuna. Inside is Radha with Krishna, and I will just talk outside with my girlfriends about Radha's glory. This is the nishtha of fixation, of a fixed Radha, a servant. Whether he is awake, dreams, or is in deep sleep. Or, finally, in the fourth state of consciousness, which is called Tulya, he wants, or she wants to see the luster of Sri Radha's lotus feet. I would like to explain to you briefly these four states of consciousness so that you know where Krishna consciousness takes place. In the dream, in the wakeful state, our external senses are engaged to collect images. Now, in the dream, these images which we have seen and analyzed during wakefulness take an existence of their own. You know, it used to be just subtle. In the wakeful state, we saw things and we thought about them. In the dream, and we thought about them dependent from the objects, you know. For instance, I may see a person in the wakeful state of consciousness sweeping the temple, as an example. So, all what I see of this person in the wakeful state of consciousness is actually dependent on what the person actually does. When he stops sweeping the temple and takes prasadam, then I will not see him sweeping the temple any longer. But in the dreamful state of consciousness, that image takes a life on its own. That person may all of a sudden, in my dream, circumambulate Govardhan, whereas he sits at home and eats prasadam, you know. And then there is the third state of consciousness. It's called the deep, thank you for speaking, but let me please speak. It's the dreamless state of consciousness in the deep sleep. That is the third stage of consciousness. Sometimes when we enter this state of consciousness, we know our external and internal perceptions have stopped, and we come in contact, this is Baladevika Bhushana, with the Lord in the heart. But because we sleep and are unconscious, we don't remember. We only feel good after a good sleep. We've just entered the abides of the Lord. So these are three material states of consciousness. I just read today a nice analogy. In India, you have sometimes seen people playing cards. There are, in the night, they have a light, a candle, and then there are four people playing cards, and 10 people around them in the external circle who watch their card playing and give their opinions. Like Sri Radhika, she will always talk. So these 10 people are also giving their opinions on everything. This is typical Indian. This is necessary in the Indian culture. Yes, it must be done. So in this same way, our normally our 10 external senses are working, like the 10 people who give advices. When they fall asleep, they go to bed, then only these 4 players who sit around the light will continue. That means our internal senses will go on. Mind, ego, intelligence, and citta, material consciousness. Then they are also falling asleep, only the light is left to burn. You know, you can imagine in an Indian village, first the 10 people go to sleep, fall and lay down, and even while they sleep, they sometimes give their opinions, and then the next is the 4 people in the more inner circle are still awake, and then the light is left. So this is a little bit the situation in the three states of material consciousness. First, the 10 senses externally are awake. Then, in this is called the wakeful state of consciousness. Then, when they go to sleep, the 4 internal senses are there in dreamful sleep. And finally, when also these mind and ego stop functioning, only the light is burning, that is the Lord in the heart, is seen. Now Krishna consciousness, this is what is important to say, is when the consciousness is no longer active on the three levels, it is the 4th state of consciousness called Turiya, where the soul enters into the presence of the Lord and sees things from the from the perspective of the Lord. When I told you about entering the sacred space, and I said it might take a little long for some of you because you're not spiritually experienced, then Sri Radhika gave a comment, in the midst of the lecture, which is what has to be done in India, as we learned. But you can understand this level of Krishna consciousness is really on the 4th level of consciousness. It's something very high. It has nothing to do with the functions of the mind in wakeful or dreamful state of consciousness. Not even in the dreamless state of Krishna consciousness. It's very high. And that is only possible when the mind becomes absorbed in Krishna. And then you are no longer disturbed by the external things, and you are no longer in external consciousness. So the Purananda Saraswati Thakur prays for this. May the lotus, the luster of Sri Radhika's lotus feet manifest to me in wakefulness, in dream, in deep sleep, because he wants to be on the 4th level of consciousness, that is Radha consciousness. He says, I really have no other shelter. He has given up all other shelters. And even if I should be in Vaikuntha, the planets of Narayan, I will still think of Radha. It's amazing, isn't it? Gokumar, we hear how he is brought to Vaikuntha Loka, but because he's a devotee of Madan Gopal, he feels despondent even when all this pompous worship of Lord Narayan goes on. He is fixed on Gokumar, on Madan Gopal. So in the same way, a devotee wants to be fixed here on Radha, in the Vaikunthas and or in hell. Now it's interesting, the devotee says only in theory that he goes to hell, because devotees don't go to hell. It can sometimes happen, listen to this, that due to the material, due to old karma, even a devotee who wishes only love of God has to still wait to attain the full shelter of Krishna, because there is still some old karma, some old things he has to go through, and he has to wait. An example of this is Bharat Maharaj, who only wanted to be with Krishna. He gave up his kingdom. Do you know his story? He gave up his kingdom, his beautiful wife, the children, all the wealth. But he was not yet mature, he still had to see the another birth as a deer and as a Yada Bharat. Do you know why? Because his love was not yet mature. He was not yet a pure lover. He didn't know what is love. And therefore, he had to go through this. But he didn't see hell. Yamaraj has said that anyone who is a Vaishnava should never ever be brought to me. So sometimes it may happen that although we want Krishna so much, it's not yet our time because our love is not yet mature. It's a deep point, isn't it? I think we all experience this to a lesser degree. We want so much Radha and Krishna. I know you, and I think you very much want Radha and Krishna, every one of you. But still, you're going through some experiences because your love has to become more mature. The gold is placed into fire so that the impurities of the gold are removed, and then the brilliant dazzling gold is visible. And I think with this understanding of how high Krishna consciousness is, that it is on the Turiya level, we can understand that this is not something we can just imagine ourselves into. Isn't it? We have to. Ananda Chaitanya and myself, we experience doing our Govardhan Parikrama, great, great purifications of the heart, and states of great, of feeling very much near to Krishna. And we, it was amazing. Today I chanted for some time, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. I first heard it from the loudspeaker in Radhakunda. There's a temple where in the morning this goes, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. And then it just came, I look for shelter, Krishna. I look for shelter. Please supply this shelter to me. So, Urjeshwari, O Urjeshwari, Urja is the month of Kartik. I place my head at your feet and sweetly request you for the supreme boon. Then Radha asked, what blessing do you want? Consider me your property. Accept me as your maid servant, so that the killer of Bakasura, Shri Krishna, will flood me with his mercy. Because if Krishna sees here is someone who wants to just be a servant of the person I most love, then Krishna will give that mercy to that person. Wonderful prayer, isn't it? Can you see? So, O Jeshwari, Sri Radhika, Namostuti, with folded hands, I beg you with sweet words for this one benediction. May the killer of Bakasura, Sri Krishna, heap his kindness upon me, knowing me to be yours. I'm yours. Tavaivasmi. 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 Najivami. And so on. I have forgotten. I'm so enthusiastic for this verse. Should be. I think I find it without a computer. It's very, very nice. No, it's not. It's not in here. It's. You can find it. So the devotee says, I'm yours, Radha. I'm yours. I'm only yours. And this pleases Krishna so much. I can imagine that all this makes a lot of sense when we sit at Radhakund and hear about these things in Radhakund. But when you hear the tape recordings, you think, oh my God, now Sachinanda Swami has gone completely crazy. He always speaks about Radharani. Well, I don't know if you know that Srila Gormohan, or Gormohan, the father of our Srila Prabhupada, prayed to every sadhu, please make my son a devotee of Radha. Please bless him. It's totally Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and his spiritual master was called the servant of Vrishabhanu Sutta, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Is it Vrishabhanu Daita Das? It's very much a fact, but it's just in the West we are not in an atmosphere like Radhakund, where the whole atmosphere is just vibrating this. Gadada has just come back to the West and he said he likes it so much. It's, they're so nice, the autumn is there, it's so romantic, and so on and so forth. He is happy to have escaped India finally. I mean, he said, didn't say it like this, but this is how I heard it. There is an atmosphere in the West, autumn, melancholic, romantic. Here is also an atmosphere. Every leaf here sings Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. All the devotees who are surrounding the Kund are totally fixed on Radharani. When I came out of the Kund, there were some Puri Brahmanas, and I asked them, what are you doing here? Jai Radhe, they said. And I said, Jai Jagannath? No? No, Radhe is top first. this is the atmosphere here in Radhakund. And it's a blessing that such a place exists in this world where this highest understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our own line, is just breathed into our consciousness so that we are hopefully one day breathed alive into the understanding that we are eternal servants of Srimati Radharani. We are like people who had an accident, who have lost their consciousness and now lie half dead on the streets, and the rescue worker comes and breathes consciousness or the air into them. So we also require this fresh breath of Radha Bhakti. It's very important. Otherwise we don't wake up and we don't come alive. So the good meditation is, I said it already, and some devotees of you have taken note of this, to just think, Radharani, I'm here, your lost servant in this material world, and I really need your mercy. And we can chant this verse together. Tavaivasmi, Tavaivasmi.
Daivasmi, Davaivasmi, Najivami Tvaya Vina, Najivami Tvaya Vina,
Iti Vigyaya Devi Tvam,
Iti Vigyaya Devi Tvam,
Naya Mama Charanantikam,
Naya Mama Charanantikam.
I'm yours. I'm not so automatic. Some new feeling has to be there. I am yours. I cannot live without you.
I cannot live without you.
O Devi Radhe. Please understand this.
Please understand this.
And bring me to your lotus feet.
And bring me to your lotus feet.
God looks. Oh, Radhe, I am only yours. I'm only yours. I'm only yours. If I don't attain you at once, I will give up my body. Huh? Wonderful, it works. What is it? Vilapkushumanjali? The whole book you have. Amazing. So, I'm sorry I made these sounds. I just handled this super modern telephone and it almost killed me. It's so modern. I mean, it did things. You just touched it and it woke up like a zombie and did things. So I want to now read to you my favorite pastimes about Krishna. We start here, and I think we will read about this for some days. So Srimati Radharani stayed in Vrindavan, as we know, and Krishna went out to herd the cows. Then Krishna desired her association so much and called her with his transcendental flute, and simultaneously Yatila had made the point that Radha should go to Surya Kund, which is close to Radha Kund, it's in the vicinity. It's a nice foot walk actually from here. So there at Surya Kund, no, first in Radha Kund, then in Surya Kund, Krishna met Srimati Radharani, but then again he continued his way and Radha stayed alone. The whole afternoon she is alone. And then finally she goes into her home, but she suffers so much separation from Krishna that she feels she is in a dry well. This is a very good example. Sometimes it gets so hot in India that you need water to survive. But when you come into a dry well, it looks as if there is water, but there is none. And then you're very, very frustrated. So sometimes this house, our house, is compared to be a dry well. It looks as if there is enjoyment, but there is none. So and Radha feels as if thunderbolts are falling on her. I had the situation. We came back from our Govardhan Parikrama, and then I had to wait for a little bit for Nanda Chaitanya to collect all the items which we needed for at Radha Kund. It was so hot. I was hungry and I had already trained drunken 50,000 liters of water, but it just evaporated. It was just so hot, and I was sitting there, and I was slowly losing my consciousness, not in a transcendental way, not to the Toya state, but I was just so exhausted. So then I took shelter in the shadow and looked at Radhakund and just mentally took my bath first, because to take the actual bath I needed a clean cloth. I didn't want to go with my dirty cloth in the cold. And I remember, I was really suffering in the sun. I was going in and out of consciousness almost. So Rani feels like this at home. And although her Sakhi served her with anxious hearts, anointing her body with sandal paste, lotus pollen and camphor, the heat of her afflicted body that burned in the fire of separation from Hari made these substances dry up at once, and then they had to be applied again. So that they made a mixture of sandal paste, lotus pollen and camphor, everything is very cooling, put it on Radha's body, but it immediately became dry and fell off the body, because the heat of separation was just so strong. And then one Sakhi, Chandanakala, who's excited with divine love, comes before Radha. The Sakhi surrounded her and said, "From where do you come?" "From Vrindavan." Sakhi said, "What for?" "On the order of Queen Yashoda." Sakhi said, "What is that order? Tell us, Chandanakala." "Well, we have to engage Radhika in quickly cooking something for Krishna and to bring it to her." So the Sakhis think, finally the solution, their Radha will be engaged in Krishna's service and that will save her life. But they want to also know what Krishna is. What is he doing at the moment? In Chandanakala, he's playing different ball games with his friends. And then it's a little bit explained how Krishna talks with his friends while he plays ball games, and one of the friends, Sridhar, says, "You are so proud of killing all these demons, but for no reason you are proud, because it were the Brahmanas who killed Putana with their mantras. And did you enter Agasura belly alone, or were we already in there?" "Of course we were in there, and we killed Agasura. Who will even count Bakasura? We were there to protect you. And if you say, 'I lifted Govardhan Hill,' then I will say that it went up in the air by itself, because it was pleased with our Govardhan Puja." You can say this Giriraj is also flying a little in the air. Do you see? He's not steady. He's very intoxicated with love. "You only had to come, stand under the Govardhan Hill and touch it, touch the bottom, and then you said, 'I lifted it.' Our puja was, 'Why are you so proud, Krishna?'" So Chandanakala said, when Krishna was so much challenged, he became very enthusiastic to fight with his friends who worshipped him with the splendid rays of their millions of loving feelings for him. So Krishna in Chandana Kala, it means the time which is ornamented sandalwood. She has such a name. She really ornaments or cools the time which for Radha is burning with the heat of separation. And she saves Srimati Radharani by throwing her flapping fish-like heart, you know, which had gone out of the union, out of the company of Krishna, onto the land. You know, when a fish leaves the ocean, it comes on the land, it flaps. So Chandana Kala threw the heart of Radha back into the ocean of Krishna Katha. This is the only solace for those who suffer in the world. They must hear about Krishna. It's Krishna Katha, Tava Katha Mritam, Tata Jivanam, Kavibiriditam, Karma Shapaham, Shavana Mangalam, Vimadatatam, Bhuvigrinanti ye buridajana. And those who bring this Krishna Katha to us are buridas, the greatest well-wishers in this world, because they throw our flapping heart, which is like a fish on dry land, back into the ocean of Krishna Katha. So then Radha, and you have learned there are two types of services. One is hearing and chanting, and the other is practical service. So Radha then goes into the kitchen to cook some sweets for Krishna. And then Radha is ornamented with 16 ornaments, like a bath, garments, sandal paste, tilak, a play lotus. And I heard Radha wears a play lotus in her right hand and Krishna in his left hand. By this they show, I have your heart and I twirl it around. And she is dressed very, very nice. She even has toe rings. Flowers on her hair, a musk drop on her chin, a pearl hung under the nose, many, many things. And then while Radha is decorated like this, she says, this deceitful creator made this afternoon just like a very hard rod to thrash my oat-like heart. You know, oats are made with a threshing rod. So this afternoon is just thrashing my heart. So the gopis say, don't, Radha, don't. You will see only very soon Krishna. Just come on the watchtower. You know, and then Radha climbs up the watchtower and sees in the distance the huge moving dust cloud. Can you imagine what is inside the dust cloud? What? Krishna and the cows. They are there in the east and they come to the west. They come home. Radha says, this is not dust. It's not dust, it's wrong. But camphor powder to cool off my afflicted eyes. Camphor is very cooling and
Just then, a cool breeze blew from the east. Who's in the east? Krishna. So Sri Radhika could feel that this breeze was carrying the sweat drops from Krishna's body and said, "Oh Lalita, I'm very fortunate. This very merciful eastern wind carries the sweat drops from the lotus face of our beloved Krishna. And it's reviving me. This wind is not only a name of wind, but it really has the qualities of the life air of this world." So then then they just discuss about Krishna coming closer. Lalita says, "See the spotless tilak. See the restless curly locks hanging over his forehead. Smell the fragrance of his tulsi garlands." And then he says, she says, "Your Krishna does japa of his cows' names." So he calls, "Hey, hey, Pinge." Please. "Hey, hey, Pinge. Dumre. Davali. Shabali. Sieni. Harini." And counts these cows, although they're innumerable. "Radhe, listen to the sound of his flute that attracts all the girls of Braj out of their homes to go and see him. That sound causes Cupid to arise in their hearts. Let's go now, Radhika. Let's deceive our superiors and let us tell them we just want to go to the garden to pick flowers." So they are all very eager to see Krishna. It's very nicely described how Krishna approaches the village of Yavad. "Badre," the Sakhi say, "don't delay. Chandravali, give up your sorrow and look at Krishna. Danye, you are so lazy. Give up your complacency. Kamale, quickly come out of your house. Pali, why are you still feeling sad? Quickly come and be revived by the nectar of Hari's beautiful limbs." So then Krishna slowly enters the village of Yavad. I mean, you must hear this. Listen to this. He threw the gopis into a whirlpool of ecstatic bliss with his restless, lazy, and intoxicated glances. Krishna looks restless, but also lazy and intoxicated. His flower garland swung on his chest and he was playing ball with the gopis' flower ball-like minds. And when he walked, he made the whole side of the street appear like blue lotuses bursting into full bloom. And the gopis' feasted on Krishna's beauty. Krishna's ankle bells jingled loudly, cling, 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 as he slowly moved on into Gokula and chanting the gopis. And they all go totally out of their minds. They tell each other things like, and they always speak in indirect ways. You know, it's very interesting to read this in your own reading time. You will, as I said, I needed to read it a few times before I could enter the poesy. And then Radhika prays, O goddess of shame, you don't have to leave my whole body, just leave the corners of my eyes for a moment, so I can just once look at the nectar of Krishna's face. Just, O cloud of bliss, be pleased with me. Don't obstruct my vision. O Cupid, I fall at your feet. Please don't make me shiver anymore. So excited. Then finally, the divine couples meet, but through their looks, as the red Sarasvati stream of Krishna's glance, Krishna's eyes are red, merged with the blue Jamuna stream of Radhika's glance, they turned as white as the current of the Ganga. So Sarasvati is Krishna's eyes are red, like Arun, they have this little red, they're like the rising sun. Radha's eyes are of course blue, because Krishna's always in her eyes. So they meet, and somehow it becomes, Yamuna and Saraswati come into, become Ganga. So Radhika is still on her watchtower and said, are the golden strings that tie the pearls on Krishna's turban that stands on his curly locks that cover his face slightly swinging? We had that last year. There are golden, there's a golden string which has the pearls on Krishna's turban and they swing. Or has the sun, the swallower of darkness, risen above the moon, winding the stars on the string of his rays with a restless lightning? You have to read this on your own. It's so poetic. So this is how the divine couple see each other through their eyes. Gokavinda Maharaj would call this a meeting in the eyes. Radha gets totally enthusiastic. And then we hear tomorrow something more. I'm sorry, I like to read in Kartik from the scriptures a little, but it's easier if we just hear it in a narrative, in a narrated form. What I like so much about this, since I was a child, I had always imagined what will happen when God comes into my eyes, into my vision. And here in this Krishna Bhavanamrita,
we hear how Krishna comes. He has his top knot, and there is a peacock feather, and it moves a little bit like the real peacocks who dance. And he comes so graceful. He looks like a sparkling sapphire who's filled with the light, and he washes the horizon with this light, and in this way announces himself. And the devotees are standing there before the gate of Vrindavan and waiting for him to come. And then they become aware, first of all, of the dark dust cloud. It's so symbolic. It's so, they can't see him. The next thing is they hear the laughter of the cowherd boys. And then they hear the sweet flute music. But still they have not seen Krishna. And then, all of a sudden, Krishna enters into the path of their eyes. This ultimate darshan of Krishna would be so nice. And you know what? The name will bring Krishna to you. I know in this room are only very good Hare Krishna chanters, so I can speak about this to please their hearts. When, imagine Krishna is behind a wall, like a person who stands behind a brick wall. So when you just say, hey, then the person doesn't feel inclined to come. But if you call out the name, hey Dinabandhu, hey Dinabandhu, that name will bring the person, because no one can stay hidden whose name is called. Imagine we would come in the night to the ashram at the Sangam, and we would say, hey, open. No one would open. But if we would say, hey, Siam Nam, please open. You would immediately feel, I can't stay now in my room any longer. I have to open. Someone calls my name. The name brings the person, not something else. Or I remember I have been often to Dinabandhu's ashram, and it was always closed because he takes, like all Bengalis, a long and very deep midday rest. Very deep, you can hear our Bengali neighbors from midday rest. The walls are shaking. They are so absorbed in good sleeping, you know. So I've knocked at the door and no one came. I sometimes waited for half an hour, but then I learned to call the name, oh Dinabandhu, Kripa Karo, Kripa Karo. And then he comes totally asleep. No problem, no problem. And opens the door. And so on. So when your chanting of Krishna's name reaches that personal dimension, Krishna will be brought by the holy name and will appear to you. This is what we want to learn in our lives. We can see that when we do parikrama, and during the parikrama, we sometimes chant the names in a way which calls for Krishna. Then merely we feel a strange movement in the heart. Oh, the heart becomes so moved because the name brings Krishna. But it takes some practice. It takes some practice. So this is what I wanted to say this evening. say goodbye now to my audience. See you or hear you tomorrow evening at the same time. Hare Krishna.